Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brady, and our praise team for leading this morning. And with God being out, you're called on to do so many different things and grateful for our staff in doing that. Well, today's message is a work in progress because it involves all of us corporately. It involves what Pat read about in Ephesians chapter 4. It's the church in a process of becoming who God says that we already are, but through a process of sanctification, we become what he says that we are. We are sons and daughters of God according to the book of Romans, and yet at the same time we are becoming those sons and daughters. We are reflecting more and more the life and the character of Jesus in and through our lives. Several things have happened this past week that caused me to think through the course of this message. And those of you who thought I was going to preach from John chapter 1 because it's in the bulletin, the Lord changed it. But those of you who like to fill in the blanks real quickly, I'll give you the answers. You got 30 seconds to write them down. 30 seconds. Jesus makes himself approachable. Jesus shows himself to be superior. And Jesus declares grace and truth. You'll have to come back for the rest of the fill in blanks in the weeks to come. All right? An interesting thing happened this morning as I came to church and I was locked out. I came up to the side. It's true. I walked over to that side door over there and I thought, well, I guess the men didn't make it this morning to open the church. So I pulled out my key and I thought, well, maybe they just came real early as they do sometimes and get everything ready for the rest of us to enjoy. And so I put my key into the lock and I tried to unlock it and it wouldn't unlock. And so I set down my briefcase and I thought, well, if I just hold my mouth just right, I'll be able to do it. But I tried and I tried. And, you know, then I looked into the glass and I found myself on the outside looking in. And there are a lot of people just like that on the outside looking in, wondering what in the world is going on in here. Your presence today declares that something's going on, but just what is it? What is going on in here? What I discovered is the only way to unlock the door was after we had met for prayer. I'd actually come through another door and came into my office and realized, well, let me give it one more shot. As Tommy Stewart was welcoming people at the door, I went to the door and I placed my key in it on the other side. And from the other side, I was able to unlock it and consequently let anybody in who wanted to come in. When you're in the inside, that's what it takes. It's our responsibility to make sure that the door is unlocked so that those on the outside can come in. And I just wonder, are we really doing that? As the Church of Jesus Christ, those who believe that the Bible is the Word of God, I find that my admonition and my responsibilities in Ephesians 4 and our entire pastoral staff is to make sure that we are equipping the saints. You're looking for a job description for the pastor other than your expectations. Look to Ephesians 4, the passage having been read to us already. We know that the responsibility of the pastor and teachers are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That there would be a maturing and growing up. That we will grow up to be like the Christ that we believe in. And so the responsibility for our staff is to make sure, and my job description is to make sure that we are growing in Christ. That is, providing the opportunities to make sure that we're faithful in the teaching of God's Word. And certainly in the days and the months to come, we will journey through the Gospel of John under the theme, Get a Life. Because the subject of life is so central, of life in Christ is so central to the Gospel of John, the purpose of which is to lead us to Jesus. And in this journey, we will discover what it means truly to believe in this Jesus. And we'll find Jesus in some of the most remarkable circumstances as he begins his ministry. And we see, as John declares him to be, that eternal God who's existed before time and yet has come to dwell in time in the person of Jesus as a man, to come and to die for us. And we'll look at that. And certainly, I have nothing else to say but really to speak of God's Word. We'll look at that. Some of you are involved in adult or Bible study fellowships, and you're in a Sunday school class or Bible study group, and there you're learning and growing. And I hope you'll take advantage in 2009 of the opportunities that are in front of you, opportunities to grow up and to become like Christ wants us to become, to live out our faith and to do that in an extraordinary way because having been filled with the Spirit of God, we then become his witnesses according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And when we become the witnesses of God, we leave this place and we are people on mission, not simply with our own agendas, but people desiring to follow and fulfill the agenda of God to take us into places that we could never imagine. Do you think that a 65-year-old woman could imagine herself going to Israel? Beth Landry's there today. They said, well, could I do something like that? You sure could have. Some of you sure can. You know, some of you are retired. You got a retirement after all those years. Not only do you have money coming in and you're doing nothing. No, you've got money. You've got your retirement that you work for. You've got all those skills and abilities that you put to work in fields of for years. What could you do with that in these retirement years? There's no telling what could happen. No telling. You know, one of the most untapped resources today, I think, in the church are our senior adults. Sometimes we think, and our seniors and those who have retired, and say, you know, I don't really know what to do. Well, listen, we'll help you get a ticket and you go to Israel. They said, well, see, I'll do that. One day when I retire, I'm going to go to Israel. Pastor, you put that idea in my mind, and in 20 years from now, I'm going to do that. Well, you don't have to wait. Because you could be like Becky Cole and decide to go to Peru this week. She's not retired. And she went to Peru. She's in Peru right now. What is she doing in Peru? Oh, just having a good time. Craig, but you're not there. What's, you know? No, she's out there serving, helping. And taking a look at opportunities that we might have in the future to go to Peru and help people. Or you could be like, well, you say, well, you know, I need to get a little bit older in my life. My kids need to leave, and then I can do that. But Darcy Simpson, she's on this world tour, 11 countries in 11 months, something like that. I mean, she's going to be all over the world. Just graduated from college, trying to find, you know, that place and ministry and life, and what do you do? How can you give of yourself? You know, there are times in all, you say, well, Pastor, I can't do that. I can't travel all around the world. Well, listen, can you go down to Port Arthur, Texas? How many of y'all know where Port Arthur is? Raise your hand. Port Arthur. Some of y'all don't know where it's at. So I suggest that in just a little while, you get in your car and just drive just down 39th Street. And you will drive into a world that has changed rapidly. For those of you who know Port Arthur, it's changed rapidly over the last 30 years. And you might find yourself at a place called Port City Rescue, where some of our men serve at and have served some 24,000 meals on Tuesdays and other times. Maybe there. It's, well, I don't know if I'm ready for all that. Well, listen, could you possibly find yourself in a children's class on Wednesday night? You say, well, you know, I taught children for a number of years. I mean, I did that in public education. Well, yeah, you got a gift. You got a gift. What are you doing with it? What I'm saying is that God has called us, and God has called us as a staff to equip God's people to go out and make a difference in this world so that those people who are on the outside looking in have an opportunity. And we can make a difference and give a cup of cold water and a piece of bread, certainly to make a difference and settle their grumbling stomach, you know, for just a moment enough, as Charles said, to be able to hear the message that we are sometimes self-righteously proclaiming, because they don't seem to hear it when we say it in those tones. But when we offer love and when we offer the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Romans 1:16, which is the power of God unto salvation, that the means of salvation for people exist today. God is not disconnected from this world that He created. Yeah, we fouled it up. We messed the whole thing up. Every one of us have made our own contribution to this mess that we've created. But God made a significant contribution, and He has come to change our hearts and to change this world. And that's why He stepped out of eternity into time. That's why He stepped out of heaven onto this earth. That's why He gave up the glory and the riches of heaven, according to Philippians 2. And He humbled Himself, and He became what? Not a glorious king, that He will become someday, but He became a suffering servant, Philippians 2. And He suffered, and He did this all the way to the cross. That's the Jesus that we worship. Now, I want to just take a few moments and explain to you how you might get connected, how you might grow in your commitment to the Lord, and how you might even just get so excited about Jesus that some of that might rub off on someone else, and you might become contagious. So why don't you just take your bulletin for just a moment? This is not really, you know, this whole thing isn't planned out, okay? The staff knows that I could call on them at any moment, and I will in just a moment, to speak about this. But you look at your bulletin, and listen, if you're here and you're visiting, I want you to know this is not a perfect place. If you haven't already discovered that, it's not a perfect place. And we're not perfect people. We are people who are growing and maturing and taking advantages, I hope, of the opportunities to grow and become like the Jesus that we worship. And so I want to take a moment and explain to you, what is all this stuff in the bulletin about? You say, well, this is a public announcement. This is like just extended announcements. Oh, it's more than that. I want you to see that it's much more than that. And as you look at that, there are opportunities for you to know and to grow and to become who Christ wants you to be. There are opportunities all over that I want you to take a look at that will connect you to the body of Christ, that will allow you to grow in your commitment to Jesus Christ. Connected, that is where you are building relationships. And that's a new thing for some of you. Maybe you're new, or maybe you've been coming for a while, and that is a very important thing for all of us, to grow in our relationships with other people. One way that we do that is in our worship time, but it's not always the best thing, because there are so many other things that happen in the life of a church that you can grow in those relationships with other people. And hopefully, as you grow in your relationship with other people and you're part of what's going on here, that you are most of all growing in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, as you develop from there and you grow more deeply in that relationship, you'll notice there are things here in this and that we believe in, okay? Things that help you to be a part. In fact, I want to just ask Brother Charles to talk about some of the things that are going on. They're right there in your bulletin. I mean, they're pointing you, they're telling you, hey, this opportunity is shouting out for you to be a part of. Brother Charles.
Pat asked me a while ago, he said, listen, are you making an announcement? I said, yes, but would you make an announcement for something that we're doing? I said, no. And it's a different day today about our how we're going to do the announcements. We're doing the announcements now. And let me share with you that in that Ephesians 4 that Brother Joe had Pat read just a second ago, let me start with verse 1. And it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. When we have talk about Sunday school leadership in our church, which is one of the things that we do, and I try to call that Sunday morning Bible study, and some people think of Sunday school. You know, they get like, you know, I don't know about you, but school was, yeah, I don't know. But Sunday morning Bible study, and we talk to that leadership as saying that you need to walk according to the call that has been placed in your life. And that when you come to study God's Word together, and when you come as a leader, that you are leading more than just a Bible study. You're leading in what to do with it. You know, a Sunday morning Bible study is great, but if that Bible study doesn't go with you on Monday morning, what good was it on Sunday? It's to take it from here to tomorrow and the next day. And we have tremendous leadership in that. So one of the opportunities that we have for Bible study is Sunday morning at 9:30, when we come together to study God's Word from all areas, from all age graded, from babies all the way up to, as Brother Joe mentioned, our senior saints. And so that is one of that, is to have the Bible study on Sunday morning with groups. And it's more than just the Bible study. We started a thing called care groups, and in the care group leadership is that not only on Sunday, but those care group leaders call those people in their care groups, and that's a part of that fellowship together on Sunday morning, just to check on them during the week. How are you? What's up with you in your life? And so a facet or step out from the Bible study group on Sunday morning is that care group, which I think is a vital touch of this church, is to be a part of that. Also, on Wednesday evenings, we'll start this Wednesday what we call our life classes, the Lay Institute for Equipping. If it's our role to equip, where do we do that? Sunday morning Bible study, but also on Wednesday evenings, where we have so many different topical studies that we have. And we touch on spiritual things, and well, they're all spiritual, but the Truth Project, which is what will open your eyes as far as where we are in America, where we are in God's Word and spirituality, marriage and family. Clarice and I will be leading in a marriage class on Wednesday, and Miss Marty Godwin always tremendous class, the grief recovery, which is full. And because so many people need to know that feeling that there is hope in the middle of grief. Wasn't Sunday morning Bible study this morning tremendous? To know that even when we doubt where we are spiritually, that there is hope in the name of Jesus. And that's what we pray that these classes do, is to give you hope. Pastor will speak more on Encounter of the Church in his class. Financial Peace, another class that we're offering, that if you're in the throes of life money-wise, how can you have peace in your home except through Jesus Christ? We'll teach you how to do that. So many of those other areas that we can do. This coming Sunday, the 18th, we're going to have a renewal for all of the Sunday school leadership. And to be renewed about why we do what we do, how to take it from Sunday morning to be connected and then to be committed during the week. And our whole goal is that we as a church body become contagious for Jesus Christ, that we leave from here with a willingness and a heart to tell others about Jesus. And then the other form of leadership in our church are our committees, the what we call different teams. And then on February the 1st, Super Bowl Sunday, we call it the Super Sunday launch, is where we will start launch out our new teams for the coming year of 09. And we will have that and coming up in the near future on the Super Bowl Sunday. And there are so many areas that I feel like that we can be connected with. But, being connected is just being connected until we be committed with what we're doing with it. And being committed is just being committed unless we go to the point of being contagious about what it is that we have. People are dying. They are dying physically. People are dying spiritually. And we have the medicine. We have the cure. It's called Jesus. And until we become contagious with that medicine, then people are going to be continually dying and dying of thirst. As the psalmist said today, "Oh, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you." Be contagious for Jesus. Thank you, Brother Joe.
Brother Charles is our responsible for discipleship and education in our church. The scripture says in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we're to study to show ourselves approved. I like that translation because it helps us to understand that engaging in God's Word is not a passive thing at all. Particularly, I would think that we who are Baptists understand this, and yet I fear that sometimes we don't. Having grown up in a different background, this became very important to me, that if we're going to know the truth, well, what is it, first of all? Where is it? Can you actually see and read it and discover for yourself? And we believe, certainly, that you can, but you have to be diligent. It's not something that you passively involve yourself in. If the only time you eat is once a week, you are in sad shape. And if church is the only time you encounter the Lord in the course of your week, spiritually, you are in sad shape. And you need some help. And the only way for that to occur is for us to help you learn how to feed yourself. And so that's why in the study of God's Word, both in a Bible study as well as in the preaching and teaching of God's Word, is it's not we don't simply just teach the content. You can discover for yourself the process that all of us, the same process everybody uses to study God's Word. You say, what does that mean? It's amazing how when it comes to the study of God's Word, we think, what does that mean? And we think, only the preacher must know that. We must go to him. We have this very hierarchical idea that the higher knowledge must be with someone other than me. You know, most of us have studied. You know, when you don't know what a word means, what do? You get out a dictionary. You look the word up. The same way in the Bible. You look the words up. You discover these are basic principles of interpretation so that you can walk away as someone who knows how to feed themselves. It is high time, particularly for those of you who know Jesus. Let me speak this word. For those of you who don't, and this is a new beginning in your life, I want you to know I got a word for you in just a moment. But for those of you who have been around and you know this, get off the milk and start eating some steak. Start getting yourself involved in the Word of God. Study. Don't just come and hear sermons. Now, for those of you who are just beginning, I want you to know it's a wonderful journey. And I want you to know that it's a process. You're not there. You probably feel like, how do I begin? And we're here to help you with that and encourage you and lead you in all of that process. We want to be that as a church. We want to be that as a staff. And we want you to know that it's a journey. And so don't expect for yourself to have arrived the very first day when you embrace Jesus as your Savior. It's a journey. And just be faithful in it. God will speak to your heart. Well, there's a lot going on. And there are opportunities. I tell you, I look at this, and the last few weeks I've looked at this, and I got excited about being a member of this church. So that's probably a good thing since you're our pastor. But I am excited because of the things that are opportunities for you to involve yourself in. One of the areas in our church life is the development of our students, and Pat and Brady are leading in this area of our church. And I'm going to ask just the two of them just to grab hold of one of these things and just share their heart on some of the things that are going on, even tonight, that are going on in our youth ministry. So y'all come along and just share your heart.
Well, it really is great to be a part of a of a church that has a vision and has goals of things that are done and not just doing things for naught. And it's really interesting that Brother Joe's doing this morning because of what's going on in the youth ministry right now, specifically tonight. This morning we started a study, called Complete for students. We've got studies specifically for girls and specifically for guys. And so for the next couple of weeks in Sunday school, that's what we're going to be looking at, the complete life of purity. And what that looks like and what that means, you know, and being in public education, those of you who are, really, if you've ever been in any sort of school and any sort of system like that, the breakdown in the expectations of what students are is diminishing. The expectation is lowering. And so some of the things that we were accustomed to doing when we were students, and I'm speaking for myself because even now, that there is an obvious breakdown. I know some of you who are older and have been in the schools that you really see something breaking down. And you can trace it back to a number of different locations, and specifically back to the family and the breakdown with family and the statistics in divorce rates and single-parent homes. And not that that's bad. I grew up in a single-parent home. But there's something that breaks down in those processes. And so kids are bombarded with things and bombarded with choices and bombarded with just finding someone that'll love them and a group of people that'll love them, which is why you see such a wide array of student groups in the schools today. So you see the kids that believe that they are Satan worshipers, to those who will date any person just to feel like they're loved. And so what we're trying to address with this, in addition to everything else, but what we're trying to address with this study and with the focus right now is the fact that regardless of what it looks like and regardless of what other students are doing and being sexually active and just falling for this person simply because they showed them attention, that it's not the expectation that God has for their life. And being in public education and being in ministry like this, it really allows me to see the whole picture. And so you see the choices that kids have to make and the ways they have to try to mold themselves to fit and even subjecting themselves to becoming sexually active and all the things that may come along with that. And so what the goal for this, obviously we're going to do the study for the next few weeks, but tonight we're doing a True Love Waits banquet. And we can say that all we want because some of you have been a part of it, and that's okay. But what we're trying to do, we're trying to create an atmosphere that's different from an ordinary church service. Different from a regular Wednesday night or Sunday morning thing for us, where it's a little more formal, a little more just kind of subdued and kind of pulled away from all the excitement of what we normally do, for the sole purpose of sharing with them what the Word says about relationships and what the Word says about purity and love, and through that process allow them to make a commitment to the Lord, whether they will stay pure from now until they're married or they recommit to that. To that statement, but the goal for tonight is we have a couple in who who went through True Love Waits, and they'd stayed pure until they're married, and now they have children of their own, and they're just going to come and share what the Lord did in their life and try to share with the students what that is and give them some time. We're gearing around the family, that the family's going to be there. They're going to sit with their parents and go through this study and just through this night and commit both to their parents. Their parents commit to them, you know, that they're supporting them in this decision. And then just have a time of commitment where they say, this is my desire. And that is to stay pure and to stay focused on the Lord until the time that we enter into a biblical marriage as it is. And so that's one thing that we're going to do tonight. And obviously we're very excited about that. And about the commitments that are going to be made. Just a lot of cool things going on. Pat and I are just really still figuring things out, but a lot of things are just, it's really exciting right now. The other thing that's really going on is many of you know that we've gone on mission trips before, and so it's time to start thinking about that. And the neat thing about this year is that we're calling it a mission or a choir tour. And so some of the accidents that happened this past summer kind of gave us ideas for this summer. And so really what we're going to do, we're going to travel. We'll do our kind of drama slash choir, but we'll travel to different sites, doing missions here and there, serving in soup kitchens or just, you know, doing some kids play or something like this. And so what's happening right now is that our Kingdom Sound is beginning to meet, and we're beginning to put things into place. And so we're trying to reach a wider range of students, because the misconception, if you're familiar with Kingdom Sound and with the mission trip, the misconception for students is, well, I can't really sing very well, so I can't be a part of that. And so we're trying to do different things. We're introducing drama this year and opportunities to run sound and to play instruments and to even load and unload and set up and break down and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of things we're trying to incorporate so that we reach the whole student, that we reach every student, and in the process teach them about what it means to serve and what it means to be on mission and how it doesn't simply have to happen in one place. We don't have to drive to one area. We can drive to Dallas, or we can drive to East Texas, or we can drive to Port Arthur. And we'll be on mission if we're just simply serving the Lord and worshiping and glorifying Him in the things that we do. So a lot of things that are going on right now. And like I said, the whole goal is to connect the students with the Lord and connect them with other believers. That's one thing that, especially being in the middle school, I've seen that they have this desire. And until they reach a certain age, you know, the person that they're going to become is incomplete. And so they find people to look up to, these, especially middle school, and even, you know, high school students will look to adults, but and kids will look to the older kids. But specifically in middle school ministry and in high school ministry, these middle school students are looking for something. And so they'll latch on to what they think is okay and what they think is good. And so if we can connect those middle school students to some of these older kids that have a living and active relationship with the Lord, well, suddenly that's cool to them. That's what they want to do. And so they pursue that relationship, and we connect them with not only the Lord but with each other. And then in that process, they see how other Christian students live, and they become committed to the Lord and to the church, and eventually become that contagious Christian that we desire them to be. So a lot of great things that are going on right now. Obviously, we're trying to build it around the whole vision of being connected, committed, contagious. And with that, I think Pat will come. Want Pat to come up?
We just kind of split these up. I'll quickly tell you. If you're a teenager and you've already discipled a student or in the process of discipling a student, stand up. Just stand up. Back in the fall, these students that are standing, we gave them a booklet. And some of the adults thought I was crazy because I didn't train them. If you cannot teach that booklet, we've done a terrible job. And I did that intentionally, adults. I knew that they were very capable of discipling somebody for 6 weeks. And these students, since November, we've had 14 students come to know Christ. And we're trying to get these students to disciple students for 6 weeks to help them understand the basics of the Christian life, and to help them understand that their job starts now, not when they are adults. And what's really neat is I know that there are kids now that have, I know Trent, I don't know if Trent's here, but Trent got saved in July, and Tanner brought him through a discipleship process, and then Stephen got saved about 3 weeks ago, and Trent started meeting with him. So even a new believer can go through a process. So I want you to know we're helping your students do that. We're helping them understand how to think outside the box and be connected. Pastor, through the Wednesday nights and the next few Wednesday nights, we're For the next 3 Wednesday nights, we're doing high activity so they can bring their friends that don't normally go to church. And because to come to church and sit down and sing a worship song and you don't even know who you're singing to is an odd thing. And so we want to make sure they understand that we do have fun during this process. And we have our In Tune weekend, and that's all about getting students in homes and discipling them. And so we do these things so that the students will understand that they need to take the process of discipleship with them. And you know that a word equipping, and I know our pastor knows this, the little word equipping, that little statement where it says, it's in the Greek, it's a proston kauterazon. And what it really means is to prepare. To prepare, it would be like we get that Greek word cauterized from it. They use it in Matthew. And it means that to reset a bone. And I think that the church, what we're trying to do is reset our student ministry and to reset the equipping process of what we're doing. And that's what equipping is. The church is going to be reset all the time because the culture changes, but the gospel doesn't. But we need to reset the way that we do things. And that's what we're trying to do with our students. And thank you for how you support students and support Brady and I. And my youth workers are doing an incredible job. And they're equipping. Where's Julie? Julie, stand up. Are you in here, Julie? Julie, the girls' conference that's coming in February is intended for girls. And Julie and Elisa and Lisa, stand up. Where's Elisa? And y'all, they're right back there. And after that, Julie has a heart for girls and has written some incredible material that we're going to kick off our girls' ministry of our own. So even our workers, they're learning to equip themselves through Scripture and through listening to the Holy Spirit.
Thanks, Pat and Brady. This just an opportunity with our students. And as I heard our student ministers talk about this, you know, one of the reasons for True Love Waits as a banquet is to give our students a greater yes than just simply say no to sex, okay? I mean, let's just be frank. That doesn't work. Just say no. It's sort of like the old campaign with drugs. Just say no. It doesn't work. Because the more you get someone occupied on something they shouldn't be doing, even though I think Scripture bears this out, they get occupied thinking they ought to be doing it. So what you try to do is you give them a greater yes than just simply saying no. The greater yes is that I'm going to follow Jesus. It's what I fill my life with, not just simply the things I take out of my life for a season or for a long period of time. It's not just simply about removing things. It's about incorporating things into your life that sets guidelines and boundaries and scriptural principles and guidelines that help you to get beyond where you are today. Now, if you're happy with where you are today and you've taken a long look at it and you've done, you know, a bona fide inventory of your life, well, then you might be satisfied there. That's fine. But most people, upon inventory in their life, discover, whether it be teenagers or adults, is that something's not right. It's just missing. So how do I fill my life? What do I fill my life with? So what are we doing as a church? Why are we doing these things? And how should we go about doing them? Well, we are about teaching the Word of God in various ways that you've seen and you've heard of, and that your bulletin is just full of different things that I hope you'll take advantage of. One thing that's going to be happening that I'm going to ask you to commit to is a very unusual day. It's February 4th. You say, well, that's just like any other day. No, it's not. February 4th is a Wednesday. And what I'm going to ask you to do is commit to something that we've never done before. But imagine a week or two or a month, or for some of you, you may have to go back 30 years, and imagine that you're going to do something you've never done before. Now, it's a little nervous. You get a little nervous about it at first. But then you begin to warm up to the idea. Then you get excited about it. And then you do it and you realize, I don't know why I had such a big deal. There was such a big deal with that. Why did I do that before? That's the kind of experience you'll have if you'll just trust me as your pastor. Now, in 13 years, I realize I have feet of clay and my shoes are scuffed. And, you know, but I think you can trust me. And I'm asking you, if at all possible, on February 4th, it is a Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. So where are you going with this? It's in the middle of your bulletin. It's called Engage, right here at our own church. You don't have to spend any money to travel to it. There's no hotel expenses. It's all taken care of right here. John Randalls is someone I've invited to come and speak at our church. There will be churches from all of our area that will be coming to this. I hope we just fill our church, just us. I don't know what we'll do with the rest of those folks that show up, but But if we just fill our church, I'm asking you to take a Wednesday off from work. You say, well, I don't know if I can do that. Maybe you can't. But if you prayed about it and you crawled to your boss on your knees and you begged, you've worked hard and you've probably had personal days and maybe some vacation days. It's a new year. It starts over January 1 for some of you. And I'm asking you to make a commitment to be here, part of a day that will hopefully energize us as a church. John Randles will preach that day and teach. John Randles is he's an interesting guy. Any of y'all ever heard John Randles? Well, the students have. He's an interesting guy. Just trust me. He'll preach God's word. He may walk up and down the aisles. He's a wonderful communicator. And he will challenge us all from God's word to engage in the world, in the culture that we live in, to engage it. And there's a host of conferences. For instance, you might be wondering, you know, if you go to the store and you're out and about, and you notice today, even in our own culture, we're seeing the building of mosques. You know, here in the United States, we're seeing that the Muslim population grow and expand. And you may wonder, how do I have a conversation with someone of a Muslim background? How do I talk to them? How do I talk to them? And how do I talk to them about Jesus? They do believe Jesus is a prophet. But how do I talk to them about Jesus as the Son of God? How do you do that? Well, you can come and be a part of that and learn how to share what it means to be a Christian with people who are not Christians. Now, you say, well, I know how to do that already. Good. So next week, just introduce me to the person that you've brought to the Lord, and I just rejoice with you, and I would ask you maybe to teach one of the conferences. It's because I think we all need some encouragement. Probably we just need a challenge. John's going to challenge us. The Justin Cofield Band will be here. They'll be here all day. And then that night with the big a rally that I hope our students, you're really, have y'all familiar with the Justin Cofield Band? Are y'all, some of y'all are? Okay, you will enjoy them. Talk to Pat Brady about them. They'll give you the scoop there. But they're excellent. All day long we'll meet. We'll meet for breakfast all the way through that night. It's the whole day at church, so that we can maybe learn how to become the church on mission, engaging the culture that we live in. I know it's different. Right now, you're not warming to the idea, but in a little while, it will begin to warm to it, and then soon you'll embrace it, and tomorrow you'll beg your boss. So that's what I'm expecting. I'm challenging you to take the day off. They said, well, why don't we have one of those Sunday through Wednesday? We'll get to one of those sometime, okay? That's not on the agenda now. But if you'll just commit to something like this and say, look, I'm going to come up there. I'm going to be a part of this. We're going to share this. Well, I can't get off. Pray about it. Just pray about it. The Lord will lead you. And if you're supposed to be here, he'll make a way. Now, if you never ask, you won't receive. So don't tell me, well, I just couldn't get off. Did you ever ask your boss? Did you? No, I didn't. But then you really didn't want to be here. It's not about your boss. In fact, the moment you tell your boss, he may take off and come to the conference. That's the truth. Maybe it'll motivate him. So there's a lot going on. I could go on and on and on. What is going on in this church? Why are we doing these things? Some say, well, you know, Pastor, I don't know what's going on Sunday night. I've showed up here and nobody's been here. That's because on those nights, there's a seasonal rapture that takes place, and half of our church goes. And some nights, listen, if you'll be here Mother's Day night, I'll come. But you won't be here. You won't come. And so what we say is, we believe in the family on Mother's Day. It's not this. When I early on was a pastor, and being Baptist and all. And I thought, we believe in the family. And on Mother's Day, we have all these events, and people are plumb wore out. They come dragging themselves into church on Sunday night, a Mother's Day night. Handful of people who had enough of their mother, I guess, that day and decided to come to church. I don't know what happened. But anyways, you know, there's something, maybe we just need to, you know, exercise some grace and realize we're saved. Don't we believe in the grace of God? So we're going to do some things different. One night we said we're going to have neighborhood watch. That's Super Bowl party. Your house. That's right, your house. And you're going to invite your neighbor. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? We don't even know our neighbors. We don't even know them. And some of them we're ashamed to talk to because of the way we've acted. Now I've gone to some preaching and meddling. But we might just need to invite them over for dinner one night and say, hey, would you come over? And so sometimes we do that on Sunday night. So what else? What else is going on? Sometimes we sing. Sometimes there's a, in Christmas time we sing. We different programs on Sunday night. So on Sunday night it's a smorgasbord. You say, well, I don't know that I like that. Well, if you just wait a few weeks, you'll like something. In about 4 or 5 weeks, I'm going to teach a New Testament study that we began last year. It's called 30 Days to Understanding the Bible. And we were part of a Bible study on Sunday night. I encourage you to be. You say, well, I don't come on Sunday night because I don't teach the Bible. We're going to be teaching it. So I expect to see you here. For you Bible theologues and all those ones, you won't come unless the Bible's being taught. Well, it'll be taught that night, okay? We believe the Bible. And I'll be teaching that. 5 weeks, how to get a grasp of the New Testament. Next year, we'll do the Old Testament. So there's an assortment of things. Come, sing, worship, study. There's 1,000 things. You just have to want to. Father, Lord God, I know that when you looked upon us, in light of who you are, you looked upon us and you realized that we were all in such a desperate situation. When you looked upon my life, Lord, you saw the desperate condition that I was in. And you, by grace and through truth, you reached down and you changed my life. You're changing my life. And you chose to do something in me and now through me. And Lord, you want to do the same thing with everybody here this morning. As we leave in just a little while, Lord, I want our church as much as anything, and I believe it's your desire to see us growing in you, to desire to grow in you, and to walk with you. That we're taking steps of faith, and we're believing you, and we're stepping out of our comfort zone, and we're getting beyond where we are so that we might get to where you need for us to be. Lord, just help us to hear your voice and to know that you are speaking to our hearts. God, as we make a commitment to involve ourselves in a Bible study that maybe we've never been a part of, to involve ourselves in new relationships when it's sort of a scary thing sometimes, to involve ourselves, Lord, in understanding more fully who you are, Lord, through these opportunities that our church offers. I pray, Father, that you will use them for your glory. I pray, Father, that as we are being equipped, we will see that the purpose of all of this education, this equipping, is that we might leave this place to make a difference in a world that is crying out for someone to show up and be authentic and be real and be willing to make a difference and to put it on the line for the sake of others. Whether it be in around the globe, Lord, where some of our folks are this morning, or whether it be just down the street. Whether it be out at the prison system, Lord, where some of our ladies minister at a truck stop. Lord God, whether it be in helping Muslims come to know Jesus in Israel with Pastor Youssef, our brother, and Christine, the New Covenant Church there in Israel, as we pray this morning, they're worshiping at the same time as we are. 7 o'clock in Israel, as they have their worship time. It's so good to know that you are working in the hearts of people all around the world, from all kinds of backgrounds. From, Lord, you are calling people from the north and the south and the east and the west, from all kinds of backgrounds, to come before you and to worship you, because you are the one true and living God. And we thank you that you have called us your children. Lord, I pray for those here this morning that they're been thinking about their relationship with you, and today is there's been a confirmation in their heart that this is the day. This is the day that they're willing to make the commitment of their life, their heart to you. And I pray today that they will believe on the Lord Jesus. They might receive the grace and truth that comes by you, that they might be saved. It is your will. And so we pray for it. Lord, for those here today that are renewing their faith and their commitment, and Lord, that they've been honest this morning and reflected and realized that they're really not doing, they're just not really walking with you. And indifference and apathy, and Lord, they just recognize that. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you show us the reality of where we are. It's not good. It's not always easy to receive it, but it's a good thing when you do. And so, Lord, I thank you for truth that shows us who we are in light of you. But, Lord, we thank you for your grace that helps us to realize that you're there for us, to forgive us and to put us on the right path and to get us back in the right direction, Lord. I thank you for grace this morning. And I pray, Father, for those here today who are willing to embrace it, willing to recognize where they've gone astray, but willing now to receive the grace to cover, Lord, the sin in their life. They would receive that gift this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be here and just have a time of worship and singing, and you're welcome to respond to what God's doing in your life. Come and grab one of our hands and ask for prayer, or give Jesus, acknowledge Jesus as your Savior. Whatever your decision is this morning, today's the day to renew your faith and to commit your heart to Christ. Let's stand and let's sing.